Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Hello everyone. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host Jenny Minnie and thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm saying hello from Paris, France. And I feel like we are in much need of a catch up, a live update. I feel like I haven't sat and chatted with you all in a long, long time. A lot has been going on in my life and I want to catch you all up. I want to be open. I want to be honest. I want to share my experiences. And if you can relate in any way, if I can help you in any way, or if this is just a comforting, entertaining something for you to listen to while you're doing your errands or going on a walk or whatever you may be doing while you're listening to this, I hope it brings you joy. I hope it brings you comfort, and I'm sending so, so much love here from Paris. So, why am I in Paris, you might be asking? I am here because I just really want to live here, and I didn't want to make the full commitment. Well, I don't really want to live here. It's been a thought that I've been thinking about wanting to live in Paris. I studied French when I was very young. My elementary school was like a French Montessori school, so we all learned French at the very beginning, but then when I moved schools, they stopped offering French and I was really sad, so then I switched to Spanish. Ended up growing to love Spanish and I still do love Spanish, but I feel like at my heart I've always wanted to learn French and be fluent in French and just like experience and live in French culture. And so yeah, Paris has been one of those cities that's like, oh, I couldn't do it. I don't speak French. It's not meant for me. But equally, there's a part of me that's like, no, I just want to try it. And it's just a part of the world, a city in the world that makes me a little scared to live in. And I was like, well, why should I let that stop me? So here I am. And logistically, it all worked out. I got a sublet, or my friend needed a place in New York for the summer. So she's staying at my apartment while I'm in this apartment here. And my job situation is worked out. They're fine with me being here. I'm still working while I'm here. So logistically, financially, it all kind of, the things came together and I was kind of like, all of this is aligning too well. I can't not make this happen for myself. So I'm not officially moved to Paris. I'm only here for 6 weeks. I got here last week. And I'm here through the middle of July. And yeah, I've just hit my 1 week today, Wednesday, June 4th. And I wanted to do a quick update. Things I've been experiencing, how life here has been, things I'm learning, things I've experienced. I have absolutely no notes for this episode, so I apologize in advance if it is a bit all over the place. To start things off, I wanted to just be really honest and say that the first few days being here were not fun. They were uncomfortable. I was lonely. I was anxious. And I was really doubting why I decided to come here and spend so many weeks alone in a city that I don't speak the language and I don't know anyone in. And I anticipated a little bit of discomfort, of course, because I'm alone in a new city, in a new environment, and my routine has completely switched up, you know, from my life in New York City. but I didn't really expect it to hit as hard as it did. And I have a whole episode from last fall about solo traveling and solo dates and just the benefits I have experienced from solo traveling, doing things alone, and just kind of not letting the fear of feeling insecure and feeling judged by other people to not do things alone. So I felt pretty confident coming into this, being like, I've done this before, I've traveled, I've done things alone, I've really worked so hard on my relationship with myself and being alone and just being with myself and my thoughts. But this trip and, you know, this last week just showed that that is not a linear upward line, and recovery and healing and growing is not linear at all. And it felt like I was taking a few steps back, if I'm being honest. And I know I'm not taking steps back. It just goes to show that this journey is not linear and it's not going to be linear. And there are going to be moments where I feel super confident and I'm not doubting anything. And then there's equally going to be moments where I'm lacking so much confidence and I'm scared and I'm doubting and I'm anxious, and both can exist with each other. And that's something I've been really, really leaning into the last week and just honestly the last, I don't know, 6-ish months of my life, and not trying to keep it one way or the other, not try to get rid of all the discomfort, get rid of all the insecurities, and only have confidence and 100% self-trust. Sure, ideally we do want confidence and we do want self-trust, and that's something we all want to strive for, but it's unrealistic to expect that it's going to be there 100% of the time, every single day of your life. So that's been kind of freeing, honestly, just to let go of the idea that I want to have full confidence and full trust and no self-doubt at all. And I definitely know that that comes from my all-or-nothing, black-and-white thinking, my tendency for perfectionism. And I'm just trying to become super aware of it. And instead of kind of quickly jumping to judge myself, if I have a moment of self-doubt, if I have a moment of anxiety, of lack of confidence, I try to look at it in a curiosity perspective. What am I needing right now? What is making me feel this way? Is there anything in my environment that I can change? How can I help myself? Is there something I need to slow down? Is there something I need to eliminate from my life for the time being? Is there something I need to add to my life for the time being? And all those kinds of questions, I've just really been trying to be kind to myself and ask myself those questions to help myself get through this period of change and shifts and low confidence, low trust in myself. And I'm happy to say that it has gotten so, so much better. Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
So that being said, the first few days weren't like 100% bad. Like, I wasn't unhappy the entire time. I was in Paris, so how sad can you really be in Paris? But actually, no, I take that back. You can be sad in Paris. You are allowed to feel discomfort. You are allowed to feel sadness. You are allowed to feel your feelings just because you're in a new, exciting experience that maybe, quote unquote, should be happy or should be exciting. And that's also something I noticed when I came. I was like, why am I feeling this way? I'm literally in Paris. Like, I should be enjoying myself and getting outside and going on walks and talking to people and meeting people and just living my best life. I should be doing this, like, should in air quotes. Because all that shoulding is just not helping anything, and that's been something I've been working on. And the more I kind of push back against that, the more I notice those should statements come to my mind, and the more I challenge those and I push back against those, the more I'm actually finding what actually aligns with me, not what quote-unquote should align with me. Those thoughts did come up the first few days. I was like, oh my gosh, I should quote-unquote be enjoying Paris. What's going on? Why am I feeling this way? But like I said, I tried to approach myself with kindness and come at it from a curiosity angle rather than from a judgment angle. And that's been really, really helping me. Enough on the first few days. Let's move on. So after the first few days, I did get outside and I walked around. I explored the neighborhood that I'm staying in. I tried some new cafes. I got some pastries, a croissant, pain au chocolat. I signed up for some French classes, which that's actually a whole nother story that I wanted to talk about in this episode. A big learning lesson for myself that maybe some of you could benefit from. Then after the first few days, I made plans with a mutual friend. I'm so grateful for my friend from college. She put me in contact with someone that she knows here in Paris, because literally I don't know anyone. Now I know a few people after week one, but coming I had no idea. I didn't have any friends here. So I reached out to this connection, just was like, hey, we're both friends with so-and-so. I'm in Paris for the next 6 weeks. Like, would you be down to meet up? She's American, speaks French, lives in Paris. And she said yes. And then we met up. And I literally could just feel myself becoming so much lighter and just so full of energy and excitement and just those feelings that those positive feelings that you get from doing things alone and proving your anxiety wrong and just feeling so fulfilled and present and excited by life. I started feeling all of that just because I hadn't realized how much my lack of human connection for the last 3 days, like in-person human connection, had really affected me. And so while I do preach, and I still will always preach to solo travel and take yourself out to places and do things alone when no one else wants to do them or is available to do them with you, I will always preach that. And I think that is so, so important. But I feel like what I'm learning is that it's equally important to recognize when that side of you has been filled so much, maybe the social and human connection side is draining a little bit, and that can cause this kind of feeling of imbalance and discomfort. Maybe that's what I was feeling. I mean, I don't have the exact answers as to why the first few days were more difficult for myself, and I've been trying not to dwell on it, honestly. I tend to ruminate, and I tend to think about and try to figure out why I'm anxious, why I'm feeling discomfort. But usually that doesn't lead to anything constructive. So recently I've been trying to just, like I said, look at it with curiosity, say, that's interesting. What can I observe? What can I try to do differently next time? And not try to search for an answer, because oftentimes there is no answer. It was just a difficult time, and that's okay. You're allowed to have difficult times. So after meeting this mutual friend, I felt like we had some wonderful conversations. She was so down to earth, and I feel like we just vibed really well. And it was really interesting to notice that that social side, that human connection side of myself was pretty drained at that point. And I think it is so important, like I said, to be able to be okay with being alone and be able to trust that you'll take care of yourself. But it's important to also recognize that humans are social creatures, and we need human connection. We need to kind of feel energy off of one another. And I felt super isolated the first few days I was in Paris because I just didn't know anyone. I had no one in person to reach out to. And I had no confidence at that time to talk to any strangers because I was feeling so insecure that I didn't speak French. So meeting this mutual friend, was kind of just the the trigger, the kickstart to kind of building my confidence and like knowing like, okay, this is actually all going to be okay. And the last few days have been really anxious and uncomfortable, but it doesn't mean that the rest of my 6 weeks is going to be like that. And it has just been better at times and worse at times since. And that's just how life goes, honestly. I don't know, that's kind of obvious, but I feel like it's really helpful for me to say out loud and for me to remind myself. And that if you are dealing with feeling kind of up and down day to day, and there isn't necessarily patterns arising, and you're a little unsure about why discomfort comes up and why anxiety comes up versus why joy and excitement and confidence comes up, sometimes there's no straightforward answer. But I'm learning that the best thing that you can do for yourself is just be able to recognize and validate those feelings for yourself and be your number one supporter, be your number one fan, and be with yourself through all those different highs and lows of emotions in life. If you're in an experience where you feel like you quote unquote should be happy, but you're not, support yourself through that. It's okay to feel sad in a moment you quote unquote should be happy, or maybe people around you are happy and excited. Validate and support yourself through that. Don't judge yourself through that moment. So that's something I'm really trying to carry out into the rest of this time that I'm in Paris and the rest of my life, because that's not the way I used to approach my emotions. And it's been a really kind of life-changing experience learning that through therapy. To continue on with how my week has been going, I signed up for French classes, which I'm very excited to be doing. And I feel like this is also helping me get over that insecurity I had about not being able to speak French and just feeling like an American tourist. And I don't know, I hated thinking like that was my only image here in Paris. And majority of it is, because I'm American and I don't live here and I'm not local. But I wanted to do something about the fact that I don't speak French. So I signed up for French courses. And this is where the story is that I really wanted to get into today. The first day, or the day I went into the school, was last Friday. And the course I was signing up for was going to start that next Monday. So literally 2 days later, I got in just before like the signups closed and whatever. So it was all pretty last minute. But they were very open, very welcoming. And if anyone's curious, the school I'm at is called Accord, right in the 15th arrondissement by the Eiffel Tower. It's a lovely location, lovely teachers. I really enjoy the people in my class. But anyway, back to my story. When I walked in, they were very open to me signing up, but they were curious about like what level to place me in. And so I was open with them. I was like, I'm pretty much beginner, but I know some words like how to introduce myself and numbers and letters and basic verbs and words and things like that. So we were just chatting for a little bit and he was like, okay, fill out this form. And on the form, it was like, if you're a beginner, you can't introduce yourself at all. And I told him, I was like, oh, well, I feel like I can't introduce myself. Like, should I take a different class? I wasn't trying to be like full of myself and like, oh yeah, I speak French when like obviously I don't, but I don't know, I felt like I needed to give him all this information so he could place me in the right class. Looking back now, I was fully like overthinking this, and I don't really know why I was so particular about this, but it's okay. We're learning, we're not judging ourselves here. So then in the other room, the other teacher overheard our conversation, and she was like, oh, bring her in, I'll have a conversation with her, and then we can assess her French. In my mind, I was like, oh my god, why did I walk myself into this situation? Why am I being assessed right now? I don't do well under like performative pressure. I feel like I need to have a plan, I need to be able to prep in some way, and this, I had absolutely zero prep. And so somehow I forgot all French when I sat down in the chair next to her. And literally she asked, what's your name? I was like, what? She was like, what's your name? When she was saying this in French. And I was like, mon prénom est Jenny. Literally, I sounded so unsure of myself and so insecure. And because I was so unsure of myself, I was not confident whatsoever. And then she was like, what's your nationality? And I couldn't even answer that question. So she was like, oh yeah, yep, she's a beginner. I know to her and to the teachers that was probably just a fleeting moment in their day and they thought nothing of it. But I ruminated on it for probably like the whole rest of the day. I think by the time I went to bed, I was feeling better. But a good chunk of the rest of my day, I ruminated. I'm not gonna lie, I cried over that moment, and I really, really struggled to get over the fact that I had quote unquote failed this test that I didn't know existed and that I didn't know was going to happen, and that it wasn't also even a test. It was literally just a quick conversation to see what beginner level I should be in with French. But in my mind, I had quote unquote failed, and I was so embarrassed, and I felt like I made a fool of myself, and my anxiety was telling me all these horrible stories that, oh, the teachers are going to gossip about you, they think you're full of yourself, they think you think you're better at French than you really are, like, how could you? And it went even to the extent of like, well, now if I sign up, this teacher is going to be super mean and snarky with me because I tried to not be in this class. I don't know. None of it made sense. Like, it made sense in my anxious mind at the time. But like saying it out loud, it's like, why would she ever do that? She's literally just doing her job, assessing me to see which class to place me in. So yeah, that was a very interesting moment to notice and kind of, like I was saying before, support myself through, validate my emotions. And in this moment, I really wanted to validate my emotions and validate, like, this is uncomfortable for me and I don't like this feeling of embarrassment that I'm feeling. But equally, I wanted to support myself by saying those anxious thoughts that are coming up are not true. They're irrational. They are not grounded in truth. They are not grounded in reality. And so I was kind of teetering back and forth between this space of validating myself and letting myself feel my feelings and feel, you know, this anxiety around feeling embarrassed and like I quote unquote failed. But then equally on the other side, I was wanting to kind of snap myself out of it and just laugh it off and realize I make mistakes and that's okay and I learned a lesson and it's literally not the end of the world. So it was really interesting to kind of go back and forth between the two, and eventually I was still ruminating and I really couldn't let go of it, and I actually started looking up psychology articles online about embarrassment. I was like, why is this such a reoccurring pattern in my life whenever I feel embarrassed? My brain jumps so quickly to kind of self-deprecation and self-doubt and putting myself down. Like, for some reason, I equate my embarrassment to failure automatically. And it was so apparent in this moment that that's what was happening, and that's how my brain was kind of registering this emotion. So in today's episode, I wanted to share a few things that I learned from my reading of these articles on embarrassment that really, really helped me get through. So if this is something that you feel like you struggle with when you are embarrassed, or you're maybe put on the spot, or you're maybe wrong in a situation, or someone doesn't agree with you, and your brain quickly jumps to you're a quote-unquote bad person, you quote-unquote failed, you shouldn't be doing this at all, then this might help you. So this article, I will link it down below as well, is from a psychologist named Marcia Reynolds. She also has a book called Wandering Women that sounds like literally the perfect book for me, so I might go check that out. But she says that humans protect our identity. Your identity includes what you think you need from other people to feel worthy and safe, such as respect, recognition, control, predictability, being liked, and feeling needed. Motivation can be defined as the drive to get your most important social needs met that support your identity. As with most of our strengths, these needs become our greatest weakness. Many great inventors, artists, athletes, and leaders are also anxious overachievers, working way too hard to avoid embarrassing moments they label as failures. When you feel unworthy and unsafe, you may exhibit anger or frustration. Underneath, you feel embarrassed for what you did wrong and worry about the effects when others judge you as inadequate. The greater the need for social connectivity or approval, the greater the embarrassment. So reading that, I was like connecting the dots in my brain. I was like, oh, this is because I took so much pride in learning languages and feel that like that's one of my strengths. I had equated that to like wanting their approval. So when I didn't get their approval, I then equated that to I don't have worth and value and all of this is irrational, of course, and none of it's true, but that's just, I guess, the psychology and what was happening in my brain. So that was interesting to read. And then she said, under the note of how to stop feeling embarrassed, she said, quote, "Can you accept you are good, even excellent, and not have to be perfect? You don't need to transform your identity. Instead, open yourself to seeing embarrassment as a master teacher." That also really, really resonated with me. And that was one of the main things that helped me kind of get out of this ruminating loop, was just like, whatever I did in that moment, how I showed up in front of those French teachers at that French school in that moment was just me doing my best. And I didn't live up to their expectations. I didn't perform as well as I hoped. But that's just a lesson learned. And that moment is a teaching moment for me. And that's all I have to take it as. That's all I want to take it as. So then moving on later in the article, moving to a section about like moving through the embarrassment, she says, quote, "Forgive yourself and everyone else who pushed you too hard. They probably wanted the best for you, but forgot to honor your humanity as much as your talent." That also resonated pretty deeply. Another quote that really resonated with me from this article was, "If you learn how to laugh it off, you've made it. Until then, when you have a chance to think about what happened, ask yourself, what will be the lasting consequences of your screw up?" Then I thought about it, not being able to speak French and forgetting my French in the moment literally has no consequences. I'm just placed in the beginner class, which is the class I'm supposed to be in. Later in the article, she also quoted someone else named Ariella Gitlin in Ariella's article entitled "Why You Should Relish Embarrassment." Ariella said, "Embarrassment can also be our guide, revealing not just our sore spots, but our passions, the gaps that separate who we are from who we want to be." Again, use embarrassment as a way to learn more about yourself, learn more about your environments and what aligns with you and what doesn't. Master teacher. And last quote here that I love from this article is from Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella said, "Don't be a know-it-all, be a learn-it-all. Life will be more interesting and fun." I want to wrap up the episode with those because those really, really helped me get through this moment and just helped me sort of reframe my mindset around this embarrassing moment and kind of pull me back to reality, pull me back to grounding myself. And I've now just completed day 3 of my beginner French course, and I love it, and there's no shame, there's no judgment. I'm a proud beginner French student, and I'm really proud that I have been able to kind of take this moment as a learning lesson and as a way to get to know myself better. And I'm now just using it as motivation to do well in this class and really take as much as I can from this opportunity that I'm so, so beyond grateful to have to be here in Paris for 6 weeks this summer, taking classes and just experiencing living life in a different way than I have been on the regular. I hope that maybe helped someone. I hope some of those quotes maybe resonated with you. If this is something that you too struggle with, please know that you are certainly not alone. And some other fun updates from my first week in Paris is I got to see the Paris football team or the soccer team win the Champions League final for the first time ever in Paris history. That was last Saturday, which was so fun. Paris was a little wild on the streets afterwards. There was like fireworks and police and smoke and everything, but I went with this mutual friend that I met earlier and met some of her friends, and that human connection, that sociable side of myself, that cup has definitely become more filled than it was before. Another update is that I had my first almond croissant this morning. I don't know why it took me a week to have an almond croissant here, but honestly, they're not as common at boulangeries as I thought they might be. Usually it's just like a pain au chocolat or the plain croissant, but I had a good one this morning and that made me really happy. So with that, I will wrap this up. And thank you so much for being here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. If you made it this far, feel free to put a little comment down below. If you're listening on Spotify, you can put the little comments down below. Put a baguette or croissant or anything French, Parisian that you love, any little emoji that symbolizes that for you. Or reach out to me on Instagram at jenny.mini. And you can also follow the podcast on Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod. And if you're listening to this, you can always watch the video versions of the episodes on the Perfectly Imperfect Podcast YouTube channel. You can watch my vlogs and my videos on my personal YouTube channel. And if you're watching this, you can always go listen on podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you so much again for being here, and I'll catch you in the next episode. A biento!
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.